Well, actually, here's a really easy warm-up question. Could you state your full name just to make sure that I get the pronunciation correct for radio?
Okay, I am Edwin Estioco.
Okay, and you're a photojournalist with Compassion?
Yep, the photojournalist of Compassion for the Philippines.
And you said before I started the recording, you mentioned that you are actually from the Philippines. What area did you grow up in?
Yes, I am from Quezon City. This is part of Metro Manila, which is the capital of the Philippines.
Great. And what made you want to start working with Compassion?
Oh, wow. There's a lot. I have a lot of reasons. First and foremost, of course, I love working with and for the children. And then secondly, working with and for the church. And I also enjoy traveling around. I also enjoy writing and photography. So I believe all the ingredients that I have been looking for, I found in Compassion.
That's so awesome. I also love the work that Compassion does. They're a great partner of MNN. If it's okay with you, I'll ask you a few questions about the tropical storm in July.
Sure.
I understand it led to a lot of flooding in Visayas and Mindanao. The update on Compassion's website says that 374 children were affected, and that seems like a lot of kids to me. Can you help us understand why so many families were affected? I mean, was it a heavily populated area, or why so many kids?
You know, Katie, the Philippines is prone to typhoons and monsoon rains. Actually, in July, this number of families and homes affected aren't really that many, relatively. Like we've had bigger typhoons before, where thousands of families have been affected. So the Philippines gets an average of around 20 typhoons a year, not counting the monsoon rains. So we've had really bad flooding that have affected a lot more people than what happened last month.
Wow. I'm sorry. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, I went to some news sites and there were actually 2,666 families affected. And thank God, only 374 of our beneficiaries were affected.
Yeah, and this is awareness for me, because I saw that 374 and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of kids. So I'm thankful that it's not a huge impact comparatively. Now, how are the families doing now? This is August 1st and the flooding happened a couple weeks ago, but are families recovering?
Yeah. Let me talk a bit more about the 374 children, if you don't mind. Those children are beneficiaries of just one of our church partners. The church partner's name is the Search Christian Fellowship. And it's located in the Visayas group of islands, as you mentioned, one of the areas that were affected. Now, this town is near the sea. And so the families were told to evacuate. So they left their homes the day before the rains arrived. They occupied public schools and city centers. And there is actually another church lower south of the country that was affected by the monsoon. It's called the Kapatagan Assembly of God Church in Lanao del Norte. And 102 children were affected, but they didn't need to evacuate. Affected in the sense that their livelihood was affected. They couldn't go to work. The children could not go to school and they were drenched. But the flooding wasn't really bad. That's why they didn't file an official report with Compassion. That's why you didn't see this number. All you saw was 374. Mm-hmm. To your question. your question, how are they now? The 374 families are back home now. It was just an overnight stay at the evacuation centers. The flooding has abated, but still livelihood is a problem because their fathers work as fishermen and carpenters, so they can't go to work, and they work to eat that day. I mean, their salary is only good for a day. So they don't have money for that day. That's why we gave them relief goods, food, canned goods, rice, milk, anything that will help them through a day or two after the rains.
And I know Compassion works specifically with families in poverty. How does the gospel factor in during times like this, like the hope of Christ? I know the Philippines are a largely Christian country, but in this area that's more heavily Muslim, what kind of impact does the gospel have?
Oh, yeah. With or without disaster, the children are exposed to the learning of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible. They go through discipleship on a regular basis. Like, they are encouraged to attend the student center every Saturday and go to church every Sunday. And so their lives, beginning when they were registered into Compassion sponsorship program, practically revolves around God's word. And this gives them hope. This gives them a faith and strength to stand up whenever there are crises that might hit them.
And we
do have.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We do have churches that are situated in the heart of Muslim areas, Muslim communities. And we do have beneficiaries who belong to Muslim families. Of course, we cannot force the gospel on them. We let the Holy Spirit work in them. And yet, despite that situation, we are not shy to share with them the gospel.
And I want to come back to some questions about the Muslim community, but I'll ask one more about the disaster one. You mentioned the food packets that Compassion distributed. Is there anything else that our listeners can do to help people in this situation?
For this specific situation that happened last month, we have covered the urgent needs, you know, like food, water, milk, and even clothes, I believe. But for bigger events, for bigger crises that could hit, sponsors and supporters can help by, of course, by prayer. And then perhaps by sending gifts, because Compassion has, so in major crisis situations, Compassion taps into its complementary intervention fund. So this fund specifically addresses major disasters. So supporters can help by sending their gifts or donations through Compassion's complementary interventions fund.
Awesome. We'll connect people with that at the website. And I'm going to throw a couple of questions at you, like I mentioned before we started recording. And you just let me know if you can answer them or not. But I was really curious when I saw Mindanao, because they're kind of a known breeding ground for radical Muslims. Martial mm-hmm. law was imposed in 2017, and in an earlier incident, the children of one terrorist couple were taken in by a radical faction, and it just mm-hmm. makes me wonder, do compassion centers kind of help protect kids from being preyed upon by terrorist groups?
You know, Katie, I am personally extremely grateful to God that we have zero cases of any terrorist-related attacks or dangers involving our beneficiaries. And we do not have any church partners yet that are within the terrorist hotspots. Actually, you know what? We are more vigilant now about the threat of online sexual exploitation. And the interventions now that we do and give to victims of sexual abuse, I think they could apply if ever there will be terrorist-related problems. So what do we do in cases of sexual abuse? We will help the church partner, assess the situation. We will help them network with local agencies that are knowledgeable or experts in that field. We will provide financial backing to hire experts, professionals, lawyers, counselors, perhaps. We will support the families in prayer and counseling. I believe those steps will also apply if ever we have a problem involving terroristic acts. But for sure, there will be specific steps to handle such attacks or terroristic acts. And for that, I may not be in the position to discuss that with you, but definitely compassion will stand beside the children and their family.
Definitely. And one more question, because you've raised my curiosity by mentioning the sexual exploitation. Is that something like human trafficking that compassion helps prevent?
Well, it's a new kind of evil. That's what we're calling it now. Because with trafficking, like real persons are being, you know, transferred here or there. But now the evil is through the internet, and it can get inside a child's home without us knowing it. Unsuspectingly, it can get through cell phones and the internet. If you do some reading, you will discover that the Philippines actually has the worst and most cases of online sexual exploitation of children. And I can cite three reasons for that. Because we are a largely English-speaking country, so English-speaking foreigners are very much attracted to Filipinos. And then we have a lot of easy online payment schemes. That's why online predators are having an easy time accessing the websites here. And then we also have so many internet cafes, even in remote provinces. So this is raising the number of incidents of online sexual exploitation of children.
Oh, that just breaks my heart, because I love the Philippines, and evil is everywhere, but it's heartbreaking to learn that this kind of thing is going on. With that in mind, how can our listeners and readers pray about this situation?
Yeah, we are really mobilizing our church partners. We are raising awareness so that you know, families, parents will be alerted. And I spoke with one of our church partners, and one of them said, the only real reason why families engage this, of course, is because of poverty. They don't have money to feed their children. Their children are starving. And so if that is the only reason why this evil is thriving, then compassion is already providing the solution. We are helping them, releasing them from poverty, giving them hope, educating the children so that they will be employed later on. We are giving them discipleship so that they'll be aware of such evil. So we are on the right track to combating this new kind of evil.
Amen, brother, and I'm excited to get more people involved prayerfully in your program. That wraps up my questions for now. Was there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add?
Oh, I guess we're done. Maybe just...
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, we believe in prayer. So please do continue to pray for our country, the Filipino children, even, of course, the non-beneficiaries of Compassion. Pray for safety from the monsoon rains, and then pray for safety from online predators.
Awesome. All right, I'll end the recording.